Depends on where you are. Good morning. Wonderful being here one more time. Hanging out with us this morning. It's Sunday morning. If you're on the East Coast, getting ready, maybe having that Super Bowl party. Make sure you take care of yourselves, though. You know, because it's not fun after the big fun day to have the kind of major problem that comes along with major fun. All right. Well, it is our series on Let Me Introduce Myself. I am the other woman in your husband's life. If you're just joining us for the first time, we have about 2 episodes that went by, and this is our 3rd episode. I hope you are really full joying of the conversation. It's nothing new. It's absolutely nothing new. It is something that is with us, will be with us, will be contentious. Will somebody bring in morals, will bring in a conscience, bring in a whole lot of... And you know how that ends up. The woman's corn. The woman, the other woman. And we spoke about how this might be advantageous in a lot of relationships. And I know you're a woman out there just kind of looking at me with jaundiced eyes through the microphone and really throwing things on my side. But you know, it is reality that I think we should really come to terms with in this 21st century. And there are a lot of questions that we really should ask ourselves. And when I'm talking, I'm kind of biased a little bit on the men, looking at the men's side, talking to the woman about her man, you know. But actually, it is... both people, in essence, because women, I know some of you can be really, really tricky. Tricky. Saintly tricky. would not know some of the things that you are doing. but anyway, this show is not really condoning in any way, what we're just trying to do is just put the facts out there and really take a look at it in a different, maybe just look at it differently, just with an open mind, because love and affair and marriage and ownership, owning people through a piece of metal on a ring or a signature on a paper, has not been so such a way to bring people together harmoniously. And the hold we take, not we, the hold that is taken, whether written by yourself or the biblical or the spiritual one, 99%, well, maybe that stat is way out. But at least, probably at some point, let me not take that back, 99% of it does not work all the time, you know. Maybe even some folks get married and from, you know, the wedding day, the moment, at the altar, at the reception, the problem starts. But they see their family, kind of say, hey, you know what, that ain't going to be. But you know what, somebody wants a ring, and somebody wants to meet Mrs. So-and-so, and somebody is not thinking, because this is how society, especially women, you're not a decent woman, can I say that? Or you are, to be called a missus is the acceptable thing, especially if you're bringing in children in the relationship, all right? So anything other than that is not respectable. And that is very ironic, since, and I spoke about this yesterday, and I don't, would overlap a whole lot of the things that we've done in episode gone by, because it is just reality, maybe just to re-echo them. And so we can start to look at this, and we can better understand the pain and suffering of uniting two people together in quote-unquote love. And you know how I feel about love things, the emotion, love. It's not the thing or whatever that is, love, but it is just, for me, a horrific emotion. And I think we should teach our young ones at an early age how to deal with this thing, because it is not very easy. Even when we get up into old age, it's still not an easy thing. And then you wonder, what is love? What is it love? Where is it control? Where is it some dogma or in that sense? Where does this go? If you love somebody, you're going to hit them up because they say certain things, or they give their opinion about something, or they didn't cook the food, or they didn't wash, or the house wasn't clean, or that. This, where is this, the instability of the thing called love, or that emotion, which can end up in rage and ultimately somebody losing their lives? But yet still before the pastor and before man and everybody and the big celebration, and you look in each other's eye, and the costume that they have to dress women up in, like like a masquerade. Well, forgive me, ladies, but really, really forgive me. I really am asking you to forgive me. But I want to look at it, want for you to look at this differently. Not like, I mean, somebody say to you, a pastor, I look into you and this solemn hope or whatever it is, and tell you, as a human being, who give this woman away? You know, we have to start looking at the words and the language and what that means. Eventually, although we're not conscious sometimes, what happened? Somebody come, the giveaway father. You have your child that you spend so much money on, your prized property as a parent. I think those are the only people who have property in their children. And the big investment, and you're going to take that human being and give her away to a man, with a little piece of metal and some celebration and write on a signature on a paper. That is not this contract. That doesn't say anything. A carte blanche contract. And when you get into trouble along the way, then we start blaming each other. But how can you blame each other when there is no stipulation? There is no itemized contract. What can I do during this period that I'm going to be with you? What am I supposed to do? What am I not supposed to do? I met you last week. I'm going to come and live with you. We met. We're on the road. I don't see you leave the bathroom up. I don't see you throw your stuff on the settee or your foot up where it's not supposed to be, your sock or your shoe or your clothes. That is not when we start to cohabitate. And then we realize, oh my God, I can't take this man. But you loved him. I mean, if anybody passed by him and looked too hard, you would have clobbered them. But all of a sudden, he's living with you, and he just put his shoes where normally you don't want it to be. And all of a sudden, you're huffing and puffing and blowing. You know, you're the man. You come home, your dinner wasn't right. But, I mean, you would throw the pots at her. You would get angry. But you love this person with all of your heart. And when I say that, I'm saying, you know, love is too unstable. It's too unstable. And I think we need to either find some other way or find some way to segment along the way. You know what I mean? So, well, are you saying to me love is exactly what it is? It can get furious. It can get angry. It can get calm. It can get lovey-dovey when it feels like. No, that's unacceptable. That's not acceptable for me. HCRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, and it's Dr. Ev here with you this morning. Hoping that you're having a great time. If you want to give us a call, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a special guest with me, a social worker, having her own practice. And she has some, I guess she would have give us some idea of some of why we do some of the things that we do. So stay tuned for that. I'm not sure what time the show is going to be tomorrow night. She'll be joining us from California area, so we'll try and get the show up at a reasonable time for her as well. So stay tuned. Make sure. We're having several of these series, and it's for an opportunity for us to talk. So give me a call if you can, 661-467-2407. We're trying to set this up, so to speak. So, if just give us a call. So let's get back to some of the nuances that I have in particular. Some of you may not have the same thing, and you may not feel the same way, and maybe some folks can. You know, when I listen, because we're talking about open-mindedness here, open to a new idea, open to a new concept. As my favorite song playing in the background, imagine if we did not have a boundary with relationship. I think sometimes, and I'm not saying that this doesn't have its place. Couple of shows before, I talk about it's good the marriage is thing is good, or the marriage arrangement is good for children somehow. And you know, I take that back a little bit. Well, on the woman's side, if the man wants to know exactly that he's taking care of his children, working hard to take care of his children, then you're probably, hopefully that marriage can prevent somebody going and getting children elsewhere and taking it home to the marriage home. We hope that, and we know that does not necessarily stop this, you know, whatever you call it, cheating, unfaithfulness. I don't like to use those words, but hey, those are the common one used. But let me say, when a man probably gets married, he kind of holds his seed to, you know, he knows exactly who is what and the generation, and his generation get to expand, because this is what it's all about. We are replicating ourselves when we get together and, you know, procreate and do all of those good things. And then it produces this other human being, which is part of him and part of her, sometimes more of him or more of her, but somehow part of each other. So for this man, he wants to know that these are his children, so he would feel that he's been replicating himself through these children. I mean, the woman don't have a problem in proving anything, because it's coming out of her. Unless you have a switch in the hospital and say, oh, this is not my child, but something's coming out of her. So we know that your mother is your mother, but you don't necessarily know your dad is your dad. All of a sudden, there are a lot of us who our dad is not our dad. Our dad is our dad, but not our dad, if you understand. So for that reason, I can see the man really keeping a high out and say, hey, I want to make sure that those little ones coming out are my seed. And I can understand that. That's fair. Now, after you have those children, the need for ownership and protection should at least go away. And I'm always advocating that woman, and I probably, I don't know, I could have one or two husbands or three husbands, four husbands for every day in the week. Why not? Well, what's wrong with that? What is right about that, too? Especially when you get to the age where you don't reproduce anymore. But then in a society like this, you don't have any time to go off on those kind of expert things, because you have grandchildren to take care of. You have other things. Most women now are in the service field. They're working. Plus, there are housewives, and they're out in the field as well. So they have a lot of responsibility, a little bit of thing here and there, sneaking out here and there probably. But for the most part, they have so much to do. But nevertheless, they still get a little sneaky bit, just like the men. So with the woman, I think after a certain age, after you know that these children belong to him and he take care of that, you should probably have the freedom to go out there and not in this, not hiding or anything, say, hey, I need another wife. The very same way that a man in some countries, they can have more than one wife. However, with the men, I can understand how our society is that they would provide for those women. You can have two women, but you're supposed to be able to provide for them equally, right? Because these are playing equal role in your life. They have dedicated themselves to you. So one not treated, one have a $15 million car and the other one just have a doopsie-doopsie. No, that's not fair. Certainly not. So I think with the men having their woman and are able to come out in certain country, I think that's a great idea. And you know why? Whether or not I would support that in my relationship, I'm not sure. But I wouldn't. It could be a consideration. It definitely could be a consideration. And here is why, especially when you have children, there are advantages of that. Say we do get along, and I hope we would get along. We should get along. So my husband would have to choose somebody that we all will get along. Because if we bring children into this trio union, then these are seeds of both sides, just on two different carrier or conduit, which we are the woman. But the children are the seed of this guy. So for example, I shouldn't be, you know, if I'm out working, or we could make arrangement if I'm out working, that the children would go to the other wife and vice versa, the other wife. Can you imagine how much money that would save that man? Or our children would be able to grow up, you know, with both family and not at the loggers' edge where you hear wife over there cussing that, and some of these wives can say some really horrific things about the husband's children with the other man. Even their wives who have, you know, husband married, divorced for whatever reason, and second wife or first wife, either one of them, sometimes both, they just really evil against each other. And not only against each other, but against the children produced by that man. So there's a big problem. So I would think in a case like that, the man would definitely be able to find someone that both party can live with, and therefore harmonious, wonderful trio. Okay, and I think in certain circumstances, this is operating here in the United States too. You know what I mean? It is. I mean, it's always happening. It's only that somebody don't know about somebody, or somebody know about somebody, but they're not happy about it. And yet still, they're not so unhappy that they will give up the matrimonial home. Because somebody said, well, I'm not giving up my husband, so is that B-word and all of those other things would come and take over. But I think in being the other woman also, the wife sometimes get a little jealous of the other woman because she feels a little bit threatened that she's going to be moved out of the circle, or she feels somewhat, if my husband is seeing somebody else, something has to be the matter with me. And that's not always the case. I would say a couple of times, maybe several times or several of the instances, is that the wife is not doing some of the stuff that maybe she started out doing at the onset of the relationship. A lot of people, when they're very impressive, of course, we spread our beautiful feathers and we try to attract. And this is how we do, you know, we paint our face red lipstick or pink or blue or yellow, colored nails, colored hair now, cheeks colored, and And of course, at that point, most of us, you know, the body is in good shape, especially if you're young. And you're well put together. And that putting together is not necessarily only for yourself to feel good about yourself, but it's also to attract a male. A mate. Let's put it, mate could mean it, you know. You know, it's a different world we are today. So, let's just say, for the conversation, to attract a mate, okay? So, once you fluffed your feathers up and you show off those curves and those painted lips and those beautiful puffed cheeks, colored cheeks as well, and he says, I like what I see. You like what you see. And you say, you know what? I'm going to put down, I want to put a ring on it. I want to hold this. I want to make this mine. And hence my wife, my husband, and hence the license to carry, to put to say, I own this human person. In so many words, yes, I own. So I'm going to brand her and put this thing we call marriage ring. And it looks different from most other ring too, you know. You look at it and you say, yeah. And they wear it on a particular finger to signal to the rest of the world, she is taken, back off. And if you come to really kind of prips it, he said, back off, this is mine. Do you see my ring? And sometimes they show up the ring. Hey, that's mine. Or, you know, the man may come and pull her away or, you know, whatever. And, you know, hey, lay claim. So here's what happened. Why I come into the picture. I, not necessarily mean me, the other woman, I, come into the picture now. And this has to do with a lot of immaturity on men's part. You have a girl 25 years old, and you can get a good idea of what she may look like down the road. Check on her mommy. Check on our grandma, if that part of the family is there. So our body type, how we eventually will look, except we make some adjustment here and there. We can tell how we are going to end up later on in life. Almost prediction based on the woman in our family. So you can get a look and say, hey, if you're really thinking and you're not, you know, really, really thinking this thing out, you can have an idea. Now, I know a lot of things can change down the road. But anyway, here's what happened. Into the relationship, 2-3 years, she has a baby. And you know what? Having a baby is no excuse. But what attracted this man to this particular woman to get into licensure and certification and paying for metal to put around the ring and say, I want this one. Let me take her out of the crowd. I need this one. I want. And I'm going to buy her through the other things. It's literally, I mean, don't really stare at me and shout at me through the phone like that. It is a fact. You bought her. And she maybe, well, I don't think it's the other way necessarily, but whatever, or both of you make some decision in that way. So here is what happened. Here's the scenario moving forward 3, 4, 5 years, 6 years down the line. She got a baby. 2, 3. She's got to work. She has, especially if financially, both of you together is not really financially strong for your hopes and dreams, what you have for the family. Because normally, the woman's hopes and dreams are sometimes different from the men. And in this culture, a lot of time the woman dream for her life usually takes a backstage way, especially if she gets married a little bit earlier, because you can always never ever plan too much for, say, not having children as such. You sometimes never know, one night you come home, even if you are on whatever protection, something can always happen. It's not 1,100% proof. So you got pregnant. Hey, you're going to be having a little baby, a little loved one. That needs care. Really 18 years of intense care. Most of the caring does, as in our culture, goes to the mom. But at least for the first, at least 3 years, most of these up and down, pulling, carrying, pushing, and caring for, 3-5 years, is mom. Even if the dad is involved, mom, I think, and this is just my opinion, prove, you know, you can say you're dead wrong about that, but... and this is why this is a conversation, because this is just my end of it, right? So, in that process, she gets a little bit chubby on the belly. You know, don't have much time to go to treatment. But you know what? This is only some, because some ladies, I mean, they have 15 children and they are in better shape than when they started out. But that sometimes is DNA too. Sometimes it's hard work. And it is the culture and the background in which we are from, which you're from, that would, you know, kind of get to that point. Or sometimes the men would say, you know, your man, and you say, oh, heck. I mean, my group of friends, you know, they're in top shape. And having a child is no excuse for not having all the curves and stuff. And the man, you know, may have a wife that is almost like a trophy wife. And so she depends on his profession and how he wants to be represented by a wife. Maybe she has to go to the gym left for, you know, I mean, she has no alternative in order to keep up with the lifestyle, you know. Some of it can be her desire, and some of it can be just the society she finds herself into. Hey, it's the RS Radio Caribbean Radio Show, and it is Dr. Ev on the mic tonight. I'm hoping that you'll join me tomorrow night and on all of these podcasting. Well, it's a live show, but by the time you're listening to it, if you're not listening to live, it would be podcasted. We are going to be having a special guest, and we're going to be having several special guests on the program to kind of give their side. You know, let it balance out, not only hearing my monologue for 45 minutes or thereabout. And we're going to be having someone tomorrow night, so tune in for that. And if you'd like to chat with us too, you can give us a call on 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. We're going to be trying to do this on a nightly basis, so stay tuned. Okay, so let's get back to this young lady who had this perfect figure, and her man, maybe her man didn't tell her that, you know, one of the things that attract me, and sometimes they do to you, is I am a body man. I love figure. I love my woman to be perfect. I love her nails to be done. Her hair is to be perfect. You need to do your hair before you go to work, you're to bed. You wake up perfect looking. Some men are like that. I would give you some example, but I'm not going to go into that. But some men are like that. So you got these babies and things kind of start change. And immaturity in our men, in society, thinks that you're going to have a perfect body, a perfect woman all the time. And childbearing and age can wreak a havoc on our body, no matter if you get exercise every single day. Sometimes it's just nature, how it happens, DNA you get or whatever that makes, you know. I was looking at Debbie Hallin on TV this morning, 71 years old, and I was looking, when they said Debbie Hallin is going to be coming on, I was saying, wow, Debbie Hallin has to be an older lady now, and when she came on, she said, oh, and it's your birthday, 71 year old. I said, oh, I mean, the hosts, their jaw dropped to my jaw, was hanging down to the floor. This woman is perfect. I mean, wow. You know, I mean, care, self-care. And also, I mean, Debbie has some big money, so maybe she can also do other things to help her along the way as well. And some people just have the genes that stay right there. So let me get back to the original conversation. And that is, so this lady, all of a sudden, she is, body starts to change. And my guy said, whoa, he's saying his head. He may not verbatimly saying to her, but he's saying this to himself, you know what? That's not what I bargained for. You're not looking at what I paid for or my contract with you. You know, and some of them will tell you, hey, you know what? And that is some big problem in relationship now. Guys start to get really mad that his wife's body is changing and he's not going to have it. So while he have affection, and let me use those words, while he has affection or obligation still in the relationship, because sometimes not some things are broken, but the things that are not broken are really, really intact, and it's like a wash. The good thing is so strong in the relationship, and he can deal, or she can deal too as well. So they say, hey, you know, my husband don't take his shoes off when he comes into the house, but he is such a good dad. He's such a good cook. The man is handsome. The man is generous. So, you know what? I have to take the good with the bad. And when I put those together, I mean, he not taking off his shoes pale to the other great characteristics that this man has. But sometimes some of us cannot deal with simple, simple things. Body image. How we are getting into a relationship where we started out early, our thought process changes. Things change. How we think change. So this hold that we take becomes really complicated for us. So sometimes rather than getting out of the whole relationship, we compromise in our own way without even giving the other person any indication of what we're doing. So we have this situation. This is where I come in. I come in as the other woman. Now, you may say as that woman, God, this woman is wicked. God, this woman is evil. She's a home wrecker. She's all of those things. But I didn't cause your body to change. I didn't cause your husband to want what he wants in his marriage that he wasn't getting. Your sexual relationship while you were yet young and your beauty, because I think somewhere also your own physique and appearance kind of combine somehow. It's a synergistic thing as well with the sexual experience. So you have a beautiful body or a beautiful face or imagery. Some people can do whatever and still have an image of something, somebody somewhere else, and, you know, do their thing. But I think the whole package make the experience a little bit, when it's pleasant or pleasant all around, it makes the pleasure, you know, that's much better. So when he loses interest, or he sees not what he thought was going to be always there, and that's a matter of immaturity too, to want to think that here, this is what is going to be always. That is really immature on the male's part. But, as I said, he has some really bond. You still have got some bond. And the only thing that you're not able to satisfy is that sexual desire. So he finds it more difficult to have intercourse. Maybe sometimes the woman really is it's okay with her, because sometimes at certain point the sexual interest is not even there, and that's a complaint to hey, I don't really want to have sex. You want to have sex, and I don't want to have sex. I have the children to think about. I have my job, and it's hard at work, and so I don't have the desire. So when that starts happening, then I come into the picture, because it depends on how this man look at life and his emotion. And we're going to be talking about what there are things that we probably are not able to control. Natural desire to procreate. When you look at a woman, what goes on in your body, what you're feeling, that you can control. Even, and then you may want to think that that is also cheating or unfaithfulness, because every time this lady go past, my body just go into a whole different mode that I have no control over. I have to really summon every single thing in my body, in my arsenal, in order to maintain myself. You know, these are things that we have no control over, right? And society tells us we ought to, but it's not that easy. Maybe especially for men, because probably this is an unnatural thing to just have one woman. Maybe. I'm not saying that's what it is, right? I'm not saying that what it is. But I know that people who are married would not quite understand what I'm saying, or certainly would not agree. But you know what? Whether or not you agree with me or not, there is probably hardly any man who has not, and woman, but I told you I'm just focusing more a little bit on the men, who have not thought about another person in the relationship, who have not physically get into a relationship with somebody other than the person who they have committed to. Now, why should the other woman, why should I be the person who is coughed at, scorned, and called names because of your falling down on the job? When you get a job, you know what your job and obligation is. But the minute you get a ring, everything changed. Hey, I got a ring. I got the man. But you have to. You have a job. It's like just being at the workplace. Hey, you have the job. You're qualified for the job. But you have to get evaluated. You have to be performing in order to keep that job. And worse, in order to move up and stay there. Once you start not coming to work, once you start not producing the work that you're supposed to do, that's not going to be a nice thing. So it is the same principle for those people, for those women, and I'm just focusing again on the woman, because if and some of the women, no matter how hard they try, and you know your man was like this before you married them anyway, a lot of the times, because sometimes the circumstances which you got in the relationship with them should tell you that it's not going to stop with you, because maybe he had another woman and you were able to get into that space because of the attributes you had at the time. Now, when you stop performing, you're going to lose the job. You are going to lose the job, and rightfully so. So here is what I think, ladies. When you are getting in a relationship that it goes to putting before man and God and death do us part thing and the signature and licensure and all of that kind of stuff, you need to really sit down with, hear me out, pen and paper. You need to write down what it is you like. Some women don't even know their husband's favorite color or their favorite anything. But they're so in love. And they are married. And they don't know nothing about their partner. So how are you going to satisfy them? How are you going to keep them on the job? You have to get, when you go to get a job, you have, somebody would write down, or you get a sheet, hey, this is what you have to do. You have to get this report in every day at 10 o'clock. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do that. You have to do that. So you know what you're going to be doing at your desk. When you take up at your desk, you know exactly Monday morning what you ought to do. You know, it's not like some random thing when you get into work. You know, even if it is not totally organized, if says children, say you're dealing with children in a schoolroom, you know the core basic stuff is teaching, and you have a syllabus and all of that kind of a stuff. You may have how children may act and react throughout the day. You have no control, and you maybe can have some prediction for how you're going to disrupt the syllabus in order to take care of a child who fell sick or who was annoyed or whatever the case is. You have to stop to call the principal or call the guard or stop to talk to them. But this is kind of built in. But the core thing about your syllabus is still there. So it's not really random. You get up and you don't know what you're going to do. In a relationship, once you think about marriage, you know you have a responsibility, both the man or woman, in this relationship. The marriage is not what holds the relationship together. It is the relationship. It is the communication. It is the interaction. It is all of those things, not a paper. You long throw away that dress. You long forget about where your marriage license is. You long forget about the vows. It is that relationship, how you deal with one another, that is what is going to keep you together. Nothing else. So if you know your man love rice and beans every Sunday, and you are in love and you love that man and you want him, no other woman, to give him rice and beans on Sundays, you need to take responsibility. You need to do your job. But if I come into the picture and start to give some good rice and peas on Sunday, ooh, you should lose your job. You should lose your job. However, sometimes the guy loves my rice and peas, right? And he gets away from your, I don't know what you cook for him, or you refuse to do his rice and peas. But he loves his rice and peas, and he has to go out and get his rice and peas. So he pops out, spend an hour or two, make up his milkshake and all of that stuff, and he loves it, and he goes back. However, maybe me, this is all that he loves about me, but this is something that he has to have. And maybe he carefully crafted that he just come to me for the rice and peas, because if I have the rice and peas and if I have all the other moves, then you are out of the picture. So sometimes the guy is skillful. Hey, I use a love word. I love my wife. I mean, she can cook rice and peas, but I know where I can just find rice and peas, a good one. And since this is something that I have to have, I'm going to spend 2 hours and go and get it. So once I'm getting rice and peas over there, wife at home is still have a job. So when you're a wife who looks at me and tell me that I'm a home wrecker and I am the worst of the worst of the worst, you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. And you don't meet me on the street and want to be getting up in my collar, because that's not the way you solve that problem. Because you know what, ladies? If it is not me, it is going to be her. And you're lucky it's only me, because sometimes I am able to control him that he only have both of us. But sometimes maybe I can't do all of that. Maybe it's one and two and three. Or maybe he just come and take the rice and peas. And then since he really loves rice and peas, somebody's got to do a better rice and peas than I. So then I lose a job. You know what I'm saying? So you have to know who your man is. You have to know who this man you marry. You have to know, and you have to find that out up front. Who are you? What do you want? What are your needs? What can you do without? You know, what will be a game changer for you? And the man may look at you and say, hey, you gained 20 pounds, and God, my life wouldn't be happy anymore. I may not leave you, but I'm not going to be happy anymore, or as happy. So what do? But you would not know that, because you have so much things on your head to think about that gaining a weight, you gained a weight and you didn't even know you even gained that. And if he talks to you about that, then that is a hell of a lot of problem. If your husband, and a lot of them won't come and say anything, because, you know, with these time of body shaming, and I'm just focusing on weight, because that's such a big problem. Body image and money is usually two of the worst of the worst that will just blow up in your face, right? The man may not tell you that, hey, you're too fat. Some of them will, and they work around it, and you see them drawing away from you, and they don't tell you, oh, you're attractive anymore, blah, blah, blah. And hence I come in the picture, or she comes in the picture. Now, as I said before, you don't see me on the road and get an attitude with me, because I did not create your man. I did not perform on the job. You are the one who did not perform on the job. And if your man is seeing somebody else, you should not confront me, because I'm not here to protect your man for you. That is not my responsibility. Your man, although he's married to you, should know that he's married to you. And I will say this in every show. Your man should know that he's married to you and he has responsibility at home. So if he is not being taken care of home, or if he's so-called straying or unfaithful, whatever you want to put it, but you need to consult with him. Because seeing me on the street and attacking me is not solving your problem. Your man has a problem. You need to talk to him. So if it is a situation that he can mend by you sitting and kind of get your act together, then it may avert it, maybe for a while. But if you don't attack him, I am never the problem. The other woman is never, ever your problem. You are the problem. You and your man is the problem now together. What does he want? Can you now at age 45 satisfy him? Are you communicating with him? Are you doing the things that will keep him attractive to you? If not, just like you, and this goes for on the other side as well, if your man, all he does is sit down and smoke and drink beer and get a beer belly, and he ain't able to function like he used to be, you as a woman is going to have a problem too. So you know what? You are going to see somebody out there or something out there that is going to fool your eye. And before you know it, you are getting what you are desirous of. Whose problem is that? Is that the other man's? No, I think so. So I think we have to kind of shift our blame somewhat. I mean, something like this is happening when you do find out, because more than half of the time you don't even know what's going on. We don't even know what's going on. So when we do find out, we can try to solve them and get deep down into the stuff, really, really deep down. And the other thing is to ask yourself, what do you want? What is it that I am not fulfilling? What it is? What has changed about me that you would, you know? And what has changed about you, your concept, your perception of life? What has changed? Hey, guys, it is wonderful chatting with you as usual. And I hope to see you back here tomorrow. We have a special guest tomorrow, 661-467-2407. Give us a call. And, of course, if you're going to make some love tonight, make some good love. And take care of the one that you are loving on. It's Dr. Alva wishing you a good night. And take care of yourself. Be safe.